Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Friday Nightlight. Not plural, just one. Friday Night Light. That's what we're doing here. It's Night Light with Pete Schwabba. Thanks so much for joining me on this another balmy day in our beautiful state of Wisconsin. Great to have you with me. To end the work week, did you have a good week? Was it terrible? Let us know. We always like to hear from you guys. Either way, it's Friday night. We're in the home stretch here. Got an amazing first weekend with no football in front of us. But great chance to catch up on house stuff, cleaning, projects. You can even work out in the yard. That's how warm it's been. And I know we're going to have to pay the check on this warm weather at some point. But right now, I'm just enjoying it. We are broadcasting state live throughout the gorgeous state of Wisconsin from City Deck Landing here in downtown Green Bay, our beautiful WGBW studios. Got a great show for you guys tonight, as always. And last night was so fun. Everybody chiming in, and we hope we hear from you a lot throughout the show. You're always welcome to text in, no matter what we're talking about. You can ask the guests questions. We are open books, isn't that right, Conrad?
It is right. Yeah. And Pete, I disagree with your statement on it's the first weekend without football. Did you forget about the Pro Bowl flag football?
Oh yeah, is that what they do now?
Yeah. Yesterday they did the Pro Bowl skills competition, where they did precision passing and stuff like that.
On a Thursday?
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Well, Thursday night football, you know, you got to throw something on, right?
You know what? I think the skills is more exciting to watch than, because the actual game, no one's trying that hard. No one wants to get hurt. I don't blame them at all. I would rather see them try to throw a ball through a moving ring or have some kind of race or like do the spanking machine. What do these guys have to do? I think that'd be more fun than the actual game. So are there more activities coming up this weekend with that?
So it's just flag football.
Okay.
And it's on Sunday at 7, I believe. And last year, it was actually kind of entertaining to watch. So I'll probably watch it, but
okay.
That's just coming from one sports fanatic, so.
Yeah. And yeah, it's weird. Like, those guys, they run so hard. They're such big dudes. They could still get a bad injury. Football.
Definitely. Easily.
I was saying this to a friend of mine. A couple weeks ago, we were watching a game, and the quarterback went down on a routine sack. And I said, that was a routine sack. I'm not a small guy, but a routine sack or tackle would probably put me in the hospital for 2 weeks.
with those big guys, definitely.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
And I have friends, too, that are always like, oh, what is this? We've become a bunch of sissies protecting the quarterback. I'm like, look, you have to protect the quarterback. The game stinks without without decent quarterback play. I don't want to watch that. You know, exactly. I don't want to see a third string guy in there because the first string quarterback, I like that they're protected to a degree. I mean, you know, you can't completely.
Did you watch any of the Bears game when Justin Fields was hurt?
Earlier in the season, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Well, against Minnesota when he hurt his thumb, yeah.
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 That guy wasn't terrible, but it definitely wasn't interesting because you didn't get to see the rushing like Justin Fields does. But
yes, and you're right. And that was a big, like, he didn't even look like he got hurt. He just went down, he got up, and he's holding his thumb. I'm like, oh my gosh, and he's a huge dude. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think, did you play football in high school?
I played fifth grade football until freshman year.
Okay.
I was a fullback.
All right. And what did you hang it up for? Just wanted to focus on other stuff?
I didn't see playing time, so I just quit.
That's a good reason. It's kind of good. Like, it's weird. Like, everybody's always talking about everyone should get a certificate in the medal. I have no problem with that. Give a kid a pat on the back. Hey, thanks for playing. That's great. You know, but people go fanatical about the participation awards. And I'm like, if you, with that mentality, a silver medal is a participation award or a bronze medal.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with people getting, you know, a certificate or a little trophy. It's fine, whatever. That, and the league makes money. It's all about money anyway with youth sports right now. So I got no problem with that. But like, I think also like in your case, you realized, all right, I'm a freshman. I'm not making the NFL. I'm going to hang it up. Yeah. You know, and now you're learning other skills that you're good at.
Yeah, so exactly.
I don't have a problem with that either. So I played through sophomore year, and the first day of two-a-days, it was like 95 degrees in Marinette. I had the pads on. I was baking in my own juices, and I could have gotten hurt. So that's all the only two reasons I needed to hang it up. And I played basketball, which was the sport I was the worst at, but I liked the most. So, wow, we got off on a tangent there, didn't we?
Sometimes you just do it.
sometimes you just go with it. So Conrad is ready with text and calls. And you know the number by now, even though it's still a new number, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or 844-96-PARTY. Let us know what you're thinking, folks. Join the show. Our guest tonight, I'm so excited to have my friend Tim Cavanaugh is here. He is one of my comedy idols. When I started doing stand-up comedy in Chicago in the early 90s, Tim was already established. He was a regular on the Bob and Tom show. Just one of the funniest people I've ever met. He is here. He's on his way up north to a gig, so we worked it out that he could stop here and perform live in the studio. So Tim will be along shortly. And then at 9:35, Terry Barr will be here, Civic Media's own, and one of the hosts of Max Inc. will be here at 9:35. We always love talking to Terry on Friday nights. I've got more Wisconsin knowledge for Terry that I'm going to test her on tonight. We did a quiz a couple weeks ago. We're going to do something else tonight. It should be fun. Terry's always a blast. Got some birthdays today. Shakira's 47. And I don't know her music that well. I know like kind of the big hits, but it got me thinking like the way she shakes her hips and dances. How long can you do that? Like she's 47, just about, I guess, in middle age. Does she still do that? I've never been to a Shakira concert, but I think she played the Super Bowl a few years ago. She was great. Christy Brinkley turned 70. She of Vacation fame. And Clark Griswold's Dream Girl as they drove across country. That probably was like the highlight of her career. She did marry Billy Joel. She was an incredibly famous supermodel. That would probably be the highlight of her career. But when it comes to movies, I would say Vacation was. She was very, very memorable in that. And it was a very funny kind of several cameos she did throughout the film. It was great. Big releases this day. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Came out in 2001. Clockwork Orange in 1972, the Stanley Kubrick film, The People versus O.J. Simpson in 2016. I watched that. I resisted it for a long time because I lived through the O.J. Ordeal. And I remember the Bronco chase. I was at a comedy club in Elmhurst, Illinois called Who's On First, watching it in the kitchen with a bunch of the employees at the club and one of the club owners. And it was just kind of a surreal experience. So when the show came out, The People versus O.J. Simpson in 2016, I was like, why would I watch that? But I ended up watching it, and it was great. It was really well done. And I don't know. Did you watch that, Conrad?
I have not, no.
I would recommend it. It was good. So today, this is exciting. All right, the theme of the show, I'm just getting to it now. It is Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is one of my favorite movies. Therefore, this is one of my favorite holidays. And frankly, I don't really care if Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow or not today because it's been 40 degrees all winter. I can handle six more weeks of this. But such a great movie. Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, one of my all-time favorites, and an absolute classic from Harold Ramis. We'll play a couple clips from Groundhog Day shortly. It is also National Tater Tot Day. How exciting is that? Those of you who love your tater tots. I have to say, I never like, tater tots have never been part of my regular diet. That's probably good. But there have been times in my life when I have craved a tater tot like you would not believe, where I had to have tater tots. I would get in my car and make a special trip to the store. So focused on tater tots, I would come home and cook them. And it was like, you know, I was in Flavor Country. So this is National Tater Tot Day for all of you who appreciate a tot. Rejoice. This is your day. We have a quick clip we can play too, Conrad, involving tater tots. Let's see if you can guess what movie this is from, everybody.
Pauline, give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Oh, God. Gross. Freaking idiot.
That is so great. Like, what a great way to get bullied. Like, can you get the snot beat out of him or in a headlock and get punches? Some guy just kicked his pocket and smashed his tater tots. It's a beautiful thing. Great movie. You see that movie, Conrad?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Napoleon Dynamite. I wish Uncle Rico was in my family. So that's what we're doing tonight, folks. We got Groundhog Day. We're celebrating that. We got National Tater Tot Day. Is that your favorite potato at a meal? You got baked potatoes, you got fries, you got tater tots, hash browns, red skin potatoes. There's always some nut that likes potato salad. I'm kidding. I'm hoping my parents are listening because they both love potato salad. It's National Tater Tot Day. So when we come back, all right, coming up next, we're going to play a couple clips from Groundhog Day. And then on a sad note today, Carl Weathers died. He played Apollo Creed in the Rocky films. And he played, is it just Chubbs?
Briggs.
Chubbs Briggs?
I believe that was his name.
That's a crazy name for a fella. Chubbs Briggs.
Peterson, sorry. It's Chugs Peterson. I messed it up.
Oh, Chugs.
No, Chubbs Peterson.
Chubbs, okay. Carl Weathers played Chubbs Peterson. I get all my Adam Sandler films mixed up. It was Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll also talk a little bit about Carl Weathers. He was he's one of those few guys that made the transition. I think he was an NFL football player. And usually when those guys transition into acting, it's just kind of a joke or they play a heavy or whatever. He was a solid actor in that genre. He was Rocky's trainer, Apollo. He was in Predator. And he was in Happy Gilmore. So we will talk Carl Weathers and Groundhog Day next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up in just a few minutes, the hilariously funny Tim Cavanaugh will be here in the studio performing some of his songs. We'll have a discussion with Tim and find out what he's been up to. He's been a busy guy lately. And coming up at 9:35, Terry Barr, our question of the night. In the spirit of Groundhog Day, if you had to live a day over, what day would it be and why? It could be Christmas, your birthday, just a great day you had. Tell us. We want to know. And we'll discuss it. If you had to live a day over and over, what day would it be and why? You can text us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or, like I say every night, folks, you got to get the Civic Media app. It's so great. We're on statewide, so all you have to do is click on any one of the stations, and then there's a little text icon right there. You text. It's so easy. Boom. We hear from you. We discuss your opinions. And we make you a part of the show. We love doing that. So, as I mentioned before, Carl Weathers passed away. And he played, you know what, let's do Groundhog Day first, Conrad, because this is National Groundhog Day. It's one of my favorite movies. And I think we should kick it off with the theme of our show. Let's hear, this is Bill Murray. If you know the film, he runs into an old friend on the street who's trying to sell him insurance. You guessed it. His name is Ned Ryerson.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil? Phil Connors? Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
How you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey, hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson!
Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing again! Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing! So did you turn pro with that belly button thing, Ned? Or
no,
what?
Phil, I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right or am I right or am I right? Right, right, right.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to.
Oh, my gosh. Stephen Tobolowsky was the actor who played Ned Ryerson. Such a great actor. He could do comedy. I think he was in Mississippi Burning, maybe. The guy's resume is incredible. He was a great actor. And obviously Bill Murray is one of the all-time greats. The two of them together in that scene are just are perfect. Do we have another Groundhog Day scene?
Yeah.
Let's do one more Groundhog Day scene. This is where Bill Murray is trying to convince Andy McDowell what's happened to him.
I'm sorry? What was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god, I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck?
You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to believe in me.
You're not a god. You can take my word for it. This is 12 years of Catholic school talking.
How do you know I'm not a god?
Oh, please.
How do you know?
Because it's not possible.
Doris. This is Doris. Her brother-in-law, Carl, owns this diner. She's worked here since she was 17. More than anything else in her life, she wants to see Paris before she dies.
Oh, boy, what a...
What are you doing?
This is Debbie Kleiser and her fiancé, Fred.
Do I know you?
They're supposed to be getting married this afternoon, but Debbie is having second thoughts.
What?
Lovely ring.
He just
this is Bill. He's been a waiter for 3 years since he left Penn State and had to get work. He likes the town, he paints toy soldiers, and he's gay.
I am.
This is Gus. He hates his life here. He wishes he stayed in the Navy.
Well, I could have retired on half pay after 20 years.
Excuse me? Is this some kind of trick?
Well, maybe the real God uses tricks. You know, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around so long, he knows everything.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Well, who's that?
This is Tom. He worked in the coal mine until they closed the town.
And her?
It's Alice. Came over here from Ireland when she was a baby. She lived in Erie most of her life.
He's right. And her?
Nancy. She works in the dress shop and makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets real excited.
Hey!
It's true.
How do you know these people?
I told you, I know everything. In about 5 seconds, a waiter's gonna drop a tray of dishes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay?
Okay, that's enough.
That's a great scene. My other favorite scene in Groundhog Day, I think, is probably when they're at the big function at the end when Bill Murray plays the piano and he's kind of made peace with everything that he's learned through suffering through so many days. It's just a great cathartic kind of spiritual movie. Harold Ramis did that stuff so well. He was just an absolute treasure when it came to filmmaking. And that's our question of the day. What, if you had to live one day over and over, what would it be and why? Let us know. Our themes, I guess, Conrad, we have two themes. Thanks to Carl Weathers, who passed away. Was it today?
Yeah.
He passed away today. How old was he? You kind of let me know that. I didn't really look that up or anything.
I think he was in his 70s.
Man, a guy that looked like that, you think he would live to be like 120. Like, he was so ripped. He always looked like he was in incredible shape, you know? So let's do Carl. You got that Happy Gilmore clip?
Yeah, I do.
All right, here's Carl Weathers, who is no longer with us. He passed away today after a really phenomenal career in acting. Something Conrad cut together from Happy Gilmore.
64 more days till next year's hockey tryouts. I gotta toughen up. Yeah! Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah!
Come on, boy. Cut that out. You're making me sick.
Hey!
So you're a hockey player, huh?
Yeah.
You're gonna concentrate on golf. I'm the club pro here, Chubbs Peterson. And I'm offering to teach you how to play golf personally. For free.
No.
You have no idea who I am, do you?
No, I don't.
Back in 1965, Sports Illustrated said I was going to be the next Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, what happened?
Wouldn't let me play on the pro tour anymore. Damned alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, tournament down in Florida. I hooked my ball in the rough down by the lake. Damned alligator just popped up, cut me down in my prime. He got me. But I tore one of that bastard's eyes out, though. Look at that. You really took some giant steps out there tonight. I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
So here, I got something really special for you here.
Oh, I got something for you too, pal.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I figured if it wasn't for you, none of this would have happened, right? So I wanted to show my appreciation.
Oh, this looks nice. What is it, huh?
Open it up.
Oh, man.
Remember the gator that got your hand? I got his head.
Jobs! Jobs!
Ah, that's good stuff. Love when those guys do, like, to go from Apollo to doing comedy. It's just so great. So we'll talk more about Carl Weathers and Groundhog Day. But coming up next is the hilariously funny Tim Cavanaugh in studio. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My mama told me, she said, son, please beware. There's this thing called love, and it's everywhere. And she told me, it can break your
from the 608, Rico from Rock County says, do you get to change things about the day? Well, technically it's Groundhog Day, no, but yeah, your dime, your dance floor, Rico. You could change whatever you want. That's tonight's question. If you had to live a day over and over, what day would it be and why? It could be a holiday, birthday, actual birthday, or just a great day you had. If you want to give us a few details, be happy to share it with people. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest who is here in the studio. One of my comedy idols is on Nightlight tonight. Tim Cavanaugh.
I'm
being absolutely serious, Tim.
You're stupid.
I know. Wow. Well, you just took yourself down a peg, buddy. Mike Toomey just went ahead of you now.
That's fine. he belongs ahead of me.
I don't know about that. You guys are both tops. So it's great to have you here, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
You look great.
I do?
Absolutely.
Is it the perm?
You know what? No, I don't think it's the perm at
the
all.
Body wave, actually. Yeah, no, not a perm.
It's a hairpiece. Come on, let's be honest with it.
I got no shame.
Nobody does a perm like that these days. But no, you look great. And this radio show is very, very cool.
This is
a nice stadium.
It's sort of like a stadium. It's a big studio.
I'm on the Jumbotron, which is nice. I feel good.
It's like an old black and white, but with color. It's a very small screen. But
it's really nice. And I'm watching the clock because you have a big clock on here.
Yes.
And I don't know, do I have to do a joke?
You don't have to worry about that.
24 seconds to get a joke in?
No, you don't have to. Your jokes will not be timed here. We like just to have a conversation.
Good. Oh, okay.
I just want to talk to you, buddy.
What?
It's been a while.
No, yeah. It has been a long, long time.
You are headed to Marinette, the area in which I call home.
Yes.
And you're going to be performing tomorrow night at St. Thomas Aquinas.
It's exactly right. Yeah. St. Thomas Aquinas Academy.
Academy.
STAA, for those of you who want to. Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. And it's we're doing a fundraiser, which is going to be great. 6:30 is when I go on. Doors open at 5:30. It's $35, but it's not only me, it's food. And they've got a band, the 4th Street Soul.
Whoa.
And I think they're going to be playing blackjack and stuff.
But you get in, you don't have to pay the $35, do you?
No, but my wife does.
They don't even give you a comp?
No.
Catholics.
You know what? It's for a good cause.
That's good.
It's for an excellent cause. And you know what? I was trying to get ready for the show. And so I thought I should read something written by St. Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, very nice.
And, you know, his big number one hit was Summa Theologica. And I looked it up, and it's 3,080 pages.
Whoa.
And I said, well, I don't have time to read that. But I did read one of his shorter things. He's got this, he wrote a do-it-yourself kind of a home fixer-upper thing.
St. Thomas Aquinas?
Drawbridges and stuff like that back in the 1200s.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
He's one of my favorite saints. He really is. He's a good guy. Like what I've read of St. Thomas Aquinas, and it's been years. I've had 16 years of Catholic education, but I do remember him, and I do remember thinking this is one. I'm a big fan of the Jesuits, and I think
me too.
Yeah. So I think that's exciting. And you played there. You and I played at St. Thomas Aquinas Academy. 10 years ago.
10
together.
Years ago. Yeah. I know. This is kind of like a reunion tour.
And they invited you back, but not me. And I went there.
You know what?
And I donated my money there.
To be honest with you, my set was a little stronger than yours. Can I say that?
Well, yeah.
I'm just checking my wife to see.
I'm not.
I get kicked off almost every radio show in the first
segment.
No,
this will end very shortly, but it's nice to have you here.
No.
I'm kidding. You crushed it.
You're very funny always. And it was a great time.
It was.
And they did. They invited me back. Even though it's all new people, I think that's where I had the edge there because heard that I was funny.
Right.
But there's nobody still alive
who could
verify one way or the other.
It's only 10 years ago, Tim. You want to talk about the ultimate no respect moment? I was working in Grand Forks with Fred Klett, a Milwaukee comic.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Fred? Great guy.
Sure.
So Fred and I were there. We played blackjack and the dealer, we're having fun with the dealer. I go back 6 months later and I said, hey, you remember me? And the dealer just kind of looks at me for a minute and he goes, oh yeah, you were with the funny guy.
Oh,
he probably didn't even know I was one of the comics.
No,
on
that's
the show.
Terrible. That's
just
terrible.
Hop in twice a year to play blackjack. So,
and this has happened to you, I'm sure. You know, you're standing there after the show.
Yeah.
And you've got the middle act. You know, if say you're headlining on the middle act, and they go up to you, they say, "Oh God, you're so funny! You're such," and you're okay too. So you know, it's just terrible.
They
just damn
that.
You with faint praise.
Yeah, I remember I was standing outside a club with Vince Moranto once, and people were leaving the show, and these two girls walked out and they said, looked at us for like a couple seconds before they said anything, and said, "You guys weren't bad."
You know, and I've learned, and maybe it's just me, but I have learned that that's really a high compliment for a lot of people. That's the best they can
do. I guess. And they didn't have to stop and
say
anything.
They've never, ever said, God, that guy was really funny.
Yeah.
No, it's like, you know, he's pretty good. Pretty good. I take that now as an okay.
Yeah, I will too. I mean, I don't get compliments anymore because I'm not in that racket anymore.
You do comedy the smart way.
How's
where
that?
No one is listening. And so
I hope people are listening. But you're right. It's not a live audience.
No, did I say the wrong thing again? I'm checking my wife's in the corner of the studio and I say everything wrong all the time.
All the time?
So, yeah, I do.
Wow.
I do.
Good. You're consistent at least.
Yeah, I am. So no, I didn't imply.
What I'm saying is
you don't hear the laughter.
Correct.
Coming back at you.
That is true. And we get, you know, I try to have as many comics on as I can because, and Mike has been here. Mike Toomey's been here a couple times. And we need to laugh, right? That's what are we doing here? You got to love and you got to laugh.
Yeah, exactly right. That's my philosophy also.
So
lust.
Lust?
Is another L.
Yeah.
We passed a big billboard on the way up here, and I'm not making this up. And it said, if you are shackled by lust, Jesus can free you.
Whoa.
And I just said, shackled by lust, that's exactly how I like my lust.
Yeah,
I want to be shackled. And Jesus, that's, take your time. Yeah, freeing
just
me.
Don't. There's probably a lot of other problems he has to deal with before he gets to you. Were you very happy?
Exactly right. And you know, I just think, you know, who was the guy who came up with that ad campaign? Shackle, of all the words you can say with lust.
Yeah. Were there like
shackled by lust?
Were there like chains?
No,
on the corner
no, they
of the,
didn't. They didn't do yeah. that. But they did have a woman in spandex.
Are you tired of having a good time sexually? We'll change that. No, why? I don't want to join your religion.
Yeah, exactly.
So, hey, will you? I got tons of questions for you, but can you play something for us?
Yeah, you know what? You asked me about a song earlier, and earlier before we were on the air.
Yes,
because you were very nice.
Like
not
all
like
Tim
a lot of
songs.
Big time talk show hosts who don't talk to anybody beforehand. You were very, very nice to me.
Wow.
And so I'll do a song that you mentioned.
Okay.
Because, as you know, I'm a big basketball fan.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm a collector of NBA memorabilia. And I wrote a song about it, and
okay.
I thought I'd try it.
Oh, I love it. All right, Tim Kavanaugh.
The Detroit Pistons, former champs of basketball. I have so many souvenirs, it's hard to list them all. I have Piston pants, I have Piston shorts, I have Piston beer mugs. Sometimes people don't even notice. I have Piston ashtrays. I have Piston shoes. I have Piston basketballs. When I dribble, they do too.
Ah, that's in my Tim Kavanaugh top five. I love that song.
Well, you are so awesome.
Well, it's just, I remember standing in the back of comedy clubs in Chicago, Tim, and just like, you know, if... before I even knew you, and I'm like, what's he saying? And I'm like,
I get it now.
He's Piston.
That's how I can
so
judge how
great.
Smart an audience is.
Yeah.
You know, if it takes five Pistons for them to get it, it's going to be a long night.
It's funny because when I try to, like, recreate that song or tell people about it, and I'll, like, just sing a verse.
Yeah.
Usually, and it probably because we all have short attention spans now, they just kind of tune you out so they don't get it. So
right.
I feel ridiculous singing someone else's song, trying to get a laugh, and then people just stare at me like, oh, and then I have to say, no, get it because he pissed in the shoes. And
yeah. So. Can you imagine my chagrin as I'm standing up on stage and they've introduced me as a professional comedian, and I get that same response of, I got a lot of Piston stuff, too.
I like basketball.
I like basketball.
You don't have to write a song about it to prove it.
I'm a Hornets guy, but it's a joke too dirty to do on this show.
That's so great. So how old is that song? When did you write that, Tim?
Oh, that song, let's see. It was former champs of basketball, so it was before Isaiah Thomas.
90,
you know what? It
after.
Is. It's probably, that song's probably 34. Some years old.
So for 1 year anyway, when you sing the song, you got to say champs of basketball.
But I didn't write it then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wrote it after that.
Oh,
no,
that's great.
No. Whenever something is happening and it's like, this would be the time to have the song.
Right.
I'm always like a year and a half late on that.
It still worked. Conrad, you're a big sports fan, right?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that song?
That was great.
Okay.
Thank you, Conrad. That's very, very nice.
Conrad is so into sports. I always joke that I'm going to look up one day and he's just going to be gone because he got a sports job. Like he's just going to take a powder.
Well, no, you know what? I talked to Conrad before the show.
Oh, did you?
And he is very, very happy here. He has never made this much money in his entire life.
Really?
And he
12.
Wants to do is, well, I know that. And he's actually working illegally.
He's working illegally.
But can I do a trivia question, Conrad?
Yeah,
you probably know this. Who was America's first two-sport athlete?
Was that it wasn't Bo Jackson, was it?
It was not Bo Jackson. No, it was actually Samuel Adams. It says right on his beer bottle, he was a brewer and a patriot.
Oh God! He didn't get that.
You can get beat up in a bar. If you set it up, but you're a buck, you can't name.
Oh, that's funny.
You show him the bottle.
And
you win every time.
Would you extend that with a guitar? You challenge him? Nobody's going to hit a guy with a guitar.
No,
right?
No,
maybe they will.
It'll be the other way around.
Do you have another? Let's do another song, Tim. We got about we got a couple minutes here before we
do. You take a break. Okay? Because this is a song that I'm excited about, and I shouldn't introduce it too long because it's kind of a long song. In fact, it's a song about work. All the guys hate me where I work. They all think I'm a creepy jerk. Once a month, I test them for drugs. The way I do it drives them nuts. I pull my chair right up to the urinal and start writing notes in my official journal. That's when the guys freak out and beg for privacy. I spell out exactly what the boss told me. I got a cup. I got a CUP. Now fill it up. Yeah, I got a CUP. They ask for respect, just like urethra, but I gotta make sure it comes from your urethra. I got a cup, I got a CUP. Hey guys, this ain't exactly a picnic for me. Now last month a new rule was instated, a rule that every single guy hated. Our company vice presidents now want photographic evidence. I take a pic. That's PIC. I take a pic. It's definitely PIC. I add a flash just to catch the splash that sometimes sloshes into my galoshes. I take a pic, that's PEIC. If they need streaming video, that's easy peasy.
That's Tim Cavanaugh. We'll be right back with more from Tim Cavanaugh on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Welcome back. Rico chiming in again from the 608. Did this guy do church league softball fist fight? This guy is Tim Cavanaugh. He's here in the studio. What do you think?
Yes, no, you know, he's thinking of Tim Wilson,
who
is a very, very funny guy.
Yeah, I've
who,
heard of Tim.
Like me, has had a lot of songs on the Bob and Tom show. And Tim Wilson was a very, very funny guy. Unfortunately, he passed away
a few
years ago, but he did a lot of great songs.
Okay.
First Baptist Bar and Grill was one of my favorite songs of his. He also did a song called I wish I could do this. George Bush, George Conway, George. It's just like I got George's on my mind. It's really funny. I can't reproduce it.
So Tim,
but God bless him. But thank you for the call.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Was that from 608?
That was from the 608.
Yeah,
Rico from Rock County.
I love 608.
He's a frequent texter. I love the 608 too.
Yeah.
I spend quite a bit of time down there. Actually.
How about 420? Do you do that?
420? You know, I'm not a 420 guy.
I'm not either.
I don't judge people for it. I think it should be legalized.
Fine. It's fine.
I don't mean weed. I mean the number is 420. I'm fine with them being legalized.
Right. It's right. Exactly.
They've suffered enough.
Well, I was trying to do a little research on Wisconsin because I like to learn things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that they have that thing at the University of Wisconsin every year, some pot thing they do.
Harvest Days, I think it's called.
Harvest Days? Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to have that all prepared for my appearance here, but I couldn't find what I was looking for. But I looked up 420 because I thought, maybe it's April 20th and that, whatever.
Right.
And they said, what's the origin of 420? And Wikipedia did not have a good answer. It did not say. It started at the University of Wisconsin. So I had nowhere to go with that.
420 started in Madison. I did not
I don't know. I don't know if it did or didn't. I thought maybe it did, in which case it would be a good thing for me to bring up on the radio show. But since I didn't really find an answer, I said, well, don't even talk about it.
You know, that makes sense, because why would you equate the numbers 420 to weed? I don't get that. Maybe you're right about that.
I have no idea.
We're the only state where that is not legal. We're surrounded by Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan. I think it's legal in every state except here. Yeah,
no, so. It's crazy, because I would think that that would be legal. Yeah.
You can do heroin.
And
here,
you had gay marriage before a lot of these other states.
Did we?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I lived here then, but yeah, you're right. Maybe I would have been gay had I known I could get
You know
married.
What?
I don't know. At least it's nice to have the option.
I don't have any jokes that I'm not.
There's no joke. I think I've already said,
you know, you two got me the right way where nobody's listening. I'm still trying to dig myself out of that one.
You're doing fine. So, Tim, all right, let's do a deep dive into Tim Cavanaugh.
Okay.
When did you start doing stand-up comedy?
I started stand-up comedy. What year were you born?
67.
Yeah. Okay. So you were 12
when I started. I'm in my really early 30s. Yeah.
So when you say that I'm one of your comedy heroes, now maybe I am. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know that. But I started out in 1979.
Okay.
And I was 27 years old, 26 years old. 26 years old when I started. So I was not a youngster. I started at a club called Zany's in Chicago.
Yeah, sure. Same here.
That was the first place I did an open mic. And all I had were songs. I didn't know I was a comedian. I just thought I had these quirky, offbeat, weird songs. I used to go to folk clubs and I used to try to do them there. And people would laugh and the owner would say, yeah, come back next week. And you know, because they just want you to come back so they can sell more drinks and they're not going to hire you. But at Zany's, they said, come back on Wednesday. And then on Wednesday, I did another set and they said, come in on Friday and we're going to pay you. It was like,
whoa.
And I went home and I told my wife, who's sitting in the corner here, and I said, I guess I'm going to be a comedian.
Oh, nice.
And she said, I don't know if I like comedians. I don't know if I do either, come to think of it. But that's when comedy was changing, and it was kind of cool then to get into comedy.
That is great.
And I got really lucky because I started out with Judy Tenuta and Emo Phillips.
Oh, yeah, you had a
and
powerhouse.
Paul Kelly and people who are really good and different.
Yeah.
And everybody had a different thing that they were doing, and it was so fun.
That's a great group to start with. Did you? You were teaching school at the time.
I was. I was a religion teacher.
Jeez.
At Maria High School on the southwest side of Chicago, an all girls Catholic high school.
Okay.
And I taught there for 3 years. The last year that I was teaching, I broke in. That's when I broke into comedy. And by the end of that school year, I was emceeing at Zany's 6 nights a week, staying till 2 a.m.
Oh, fun.
Getting up.
At six.
Yeah. Fortunately, I was not a real big drinker.
Yeah.
I could not keep up with the kids when it came to drinking. But, you know, it was an interesting experience and a great time in my life. And it was a very, very positive teaching experience. You know, Peter, I always tried to make my lessons relatable to the kids, to my girls. And I remember I was teaching about Adam and Eve. And I told my girls, I said, now Eve made two big mistakes. Number one, she ate the forbidden fruit. Number two, she settled for the first guy who came along. And they didn't get it either.
That's a good lesson for girls, though.
But it is a good lesson. Yeah. Just wait.
Yeah.
It's the first guy, you know, yeah, you have a little infatuation, but that's not a big deal.
Tim, when did you realize, and it's got to be a scary moment, like I started doing stand-up during the boom, and I was young, and I got lucky. And when did you start, or when did you realize, wow, I can do this? And was it scary?
That happened 3 years ago.
Well, you've done really well.
After I'd done it for 40-some years. You know, I always, because of... I don't know if you've noticed this, a lot of comics are insecure. A lot of performers are insecure. And so did I ever feel like, oh, I'm good enough to do this? It's like, no, I should really be better than this.
And you never really totally feel like that. I mean, you get your confidence on stage.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Tim Cavanaugh, and we're having a great time. He's going to sing a little bit more for us. We're going to talk to him more about his process with comedy, because he is truly one of my comedy idols. This is Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.